everybody. So this is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It's our first meeting of the year, and I'm going to introduce the committee members. First, we have our committee clerk, Karen Dean. We also have our vice chair of the committee, John Rice, from Ward 6. Dick Blazer.
Five.
Dick Blazer from Ward 5.
That's all right. I always had Kenny Parker in Ward 6. Oh, wait a minute. That's really weird. That's
he might come back. Allison Leary from Ward 1. Emily Norton from Ward 2. Ted Esmahan from Ward 3. Lyle Baker from Ward 7. And David Kalis from Ward 8. And I'm Amy Sandillo, the chair of the committee. So the first item on our agenda is the appointment by His Honor the Mayor, item number 430-13, Hattie Kerwin-Derrick of 197 Spears Road in Newton Center, appointed as a member of the Human Rights Commission for a term to expire December 4th, 2016. Welcome.
Thank you.
What we generally like to do is have the appointee introduce themselves and tell us why they would like to serve on the committee.
Okay. When you say introduce, do you want me to give a little background?
Okay. A little background information.
I'm Hattie Kerwin-Derrick. As Amy mentioned, I live at 197 Spires Road. For my what pays the bills is I'm an admissions coordinator for a college. I do for more mature students, nursing and radiography. In my spare time, I have an 8-year-old daughter who goes to Newton Montessori and Newton Center. I'm married. My wife's name is Patty. We've been in Newton for 11 years. I was the chair emeritus for Newton Community Service Center. I've been there, was there for 8 years, chair for 4 of those years. I'm also on the Ward 8 council. Trying to think of what else. Do a lot. I'm on the board at my daughter's school. And why I've been advisory member on the Human Rights Commission for about a year and a half now,
yep.
I think. I'm on with the first one. Seems like longer. And as an advisory member, I've been participating, attending all meetings, but I'm not a voting member. And I'd like to have more of a say and a vote into what happens in some of the programming that we do. When I came on and talked to Dory about it, I see us kind of expanding what we've done and not doing the same old, same old, as we've done in the past, and looking at different populations in the city that are underserved and that could have a voice. So that's why, just to kind of make a difference on the committee that I've been serving on.
Terrific. Thank you. Committee members, do we have any questions? Comments? No? Well, what are the issues that you're currently working on now? The committee?
Yep. So we do, the commission, we do genocide at Newton South. We've been trying to get, which I think is a great, and I actually helped put that together this past year, and it was nice and to talk to some of the high schoolers. But I just think that, and we've done some talks locally, and we always each meeting to kind of talk about what we're going to do, but it's kind of taking that next step for some programming issues. Holly and I am going to help Holly with Pride in June. And raising a flag here at City Hall, so that's pretty exciting. But we haven't really done as much as we've talked about. That makes sense.
That sounds right. I served on that.
But you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I just think that we could be more proactive and more facilitate more.
Excellent. Alderman Kalis.
I'd just like to make a motion to approve.
Great. If there are no more questions or...
Yeah.
Okay. There's a motion on the table. All those in favor? It's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for serving.
Nice meeting you.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Birthday parties are important. Bye. Nice meeting.
Bye-bye. Okay. Do we need to get...
Yeah.
They were right behind me.
They were.
I said all the members keep provided today.
Okay. So the next item we're going to take up is 410-13, Alderman Johnson, Albright, and Linsky requesting discussion with the Parks and Rec Commission, Police, Fire, and Law Departments regarding options to decrease vandalism at the Albemarle Park Halloran Recreation Complex before April 2014. And we're just waiting on public safety members to join us. So what's new?
Has a cake?
I didn't have it yet.
Oh.
I have to wait.
It was good. I had some cake.
You did.
Yeah.
Need some ice cream, though.
Yeah. Some people just never satisfied. The glass half full with cake, half empty with ice cream.
I suspect that Alderman Linsky is here. Former Alderman Linsky is here. Not just to visit, but to lead in the discussion.
Participate.
He just can't leave this committee.
Did you want another meeting?
I was a little alarmed when I saw him here.
He's going to be on late.
You clawed your way off this committee. What do you want to do?
Are you shadowing?
That's right.
No, I'm shadowing. It's part of my comeback.
It's going to keep me in line.
The Alderman did not leave
2 years.
It's called stalking.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
We are.
Don't worry, the NSA has got you on your cell phone.
That's right.
Maybe we can keep a pack of wild dogs over there. That would keep people awake.
Oh.
That's, I like that.
Especially Steve's dog. I mean, that'll keep everybody.
Really? Yeah.
I got coyotes in California.
No, I like the idea that came up at the Washington Park meeting of they offered to lead over 50s yoga in the park, that would drive away the teenagers.
That will drive away the
no
teenagers.
No one wants to see that.
No one.
I don't do it.
Being over 50 myself, yes. Get it.
I just did yoga this morning. I decided I got to do more yoga and less drinking.
I just came to the opposite conclusion. Works for me.
I'm with Ted.
So I get an unlimited. Come on out under? No, inner strength. Yeah.
This is all being recorded.
That's right.
You're supposed to warn them at the start of the meeting that this is being audio recorded.
Oh, am I?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
It's actually state law. The wiretap law.
Yeah,
arrest her.
All right. I'm willing to go. As long as I can bring my cake. One of the things that, since we have some time, I was hoping that if anybody has like an area of interest with all of the different departments that we work with, if anybody would like to interact with them on a more formal...
What other departments do you mean, like Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec. The library, school department, law department,
library,
yeah. History Museum. Okay. We have a lot of different departments that we interact with, Health and Human Services, Senior Center. And it might be nice to work with them closely, see what's going on with them, see how we can help them in any way.
Or attend some of their meetings as well?
Yeah. And you can report back to us. Maybe we can have a standing docket item.
Is need greater in one area than another, or?
I don't think it's about need. I think it's about
just good communication.
Good communication.
Convincing.
Okay.
You could do this on AND if you want.
Should we?
What is it?
I'm asking for updates on ANDRA through site plan approval, and it's already through site plan approval, so we don't need that item anymore. It's already moved on to.
Oh, okay. So
get the fork.
I introduced the other item, so can we have a motion to lay it on the table?
So moved.
All those in favor? That's unanimous. Okay, item number 315-12, Alderman Fuller, Rice, and Gentile, of the ANDRA School Building Committee, providing updates and discussion on the ANDRA School Building Project as it develops through the site plan approval process.
Move NAN.
There's a motion to NAN. All those in favor? That's unanimous.
What did we just do?
We just NAN the item to get the updates on the Angel School Building Project. Because
it's already been done, so there's no action.
Oh.
NAN means no action.
Yeah,
sorry,
so we already got the update?
We've been getting periodic updates.
Oh, okay.
And that says through site plan approval, and that process is done, so there's another docket item in PF for construction and forth. So it can be carried on in a different way.
And then I was talking with Amy about having one for service, too, that will... Because me and Deb are on the service, at least before the building committee, but the service working.
Okay.
Alderman Ciccone, do you want to join us here at the table? Do you want to introduce the members of your committee, or did you already start your committee?
We already started committee, so we can just say I have 7 of the 8 here.
Okay. So we have former Alderman Linsky here to introduce the item.
Thanks.
Just by way of introduction, you'll see that this is an item that's docketed by the three then ward aldermen. I'm sure we'll be joined by the present ward two aldermen in this item. And it follows from a community meeting that we held back in November, 2 months ago, which in turn had been generated by kind of an ongoing series of events that had been experienced at Albemarle. Not ones that I think, I'll let others speak to this, that were new per se, but kind of persistent is maybe a better way of putting it. And so the thought was, let's put the community together, generate some ideas, and we were joined by the police department. Bruce is here, and you can speak to that. Bruce will provide a report. I have, as backup materials, have provided the committee members with a report that Bruce produced for that meeting, which was really the history of incidents as the police department knew. We had the Parks and Rec department as well. They were also present this evening. They're obviously a big part of that. And I think we had over 20 residents, so it was a good start. But I think the idea was, and the reason why we held it then, was because we felt that it was important to be a little bit more proactive so that when we went into the next more active season at the park, that being the spring, we weren't kind of playing catch-up. We were taking a kind of a proactive approach. And it was thought at that meeting, and Alderman Johnson raised this then, that we ought to talk in a discussion item before the board, so that the board and this committee in particular knew kind of what was up there. And, for instance, it may be that we think about things that might apply to other places besides Albemarle. I live on a park, off a park, actually, as well. We experienced in Washington Park some similar types of things. To be clear, and this has been made a point at all the meetings, both at Washington Park, and Bruce attended that, as well as Albemarle, this is for everybody's use. This is not the exclusion of any particular community's use. And you know what we're really talking about is some activities, usually we think, committed perhaps by you, that are a little bit more destructive and interfere with other people's use. At Albemarle, for instance, the brunt of the misuse has been targeted to the Little League field, and to a somewhat lesser extent, but still to some extent, at the Gap Pool, which is the city. And in Washington Park, it's been more kind of generalized. But the point being is that the parks are everyone's use, and we want to encourage positive youth use as well, not just figure out a way in which we're just eliminating use. We're trying to protect good use and avoid misuse, and so to think about strategies for that. So that's pretty much the background as to why we docketed the item, and we thought the committee members might be interested, and particularly, of course, there are a couple committee members who live right around the park as well, so they might not do that. I'll hang if there are any further questions or inquiries.
Well, thank you. Who would you recommend that we hear from first?
Well, I think by way of background, maybe...
For Bruce?
I want to thank everybody for letting me be here and speak. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bruce Apotheca. I'm a lieutenant in the department. I'm with the Community Services Bureau. We deal with civil rights violations, hate crimes, hate incidents, bias incidents. I'm in charge of the domestic violence officer, the elder affairs officer, and school resource officers. I have been involved in some of these meetings because I think I get it. I enjoy coming and speaking to people, and I've been on the department since 1983, so I'm an old guy, and I've seen a lot. I can remember the days when we used to have a cruiser just assigned to Albemarle Road from 11:30 at night to 3:30 in the morning, because from the Gap Pool all the way down to Craft Street, it was filled with carloads of kids. And we've come a long way since. I'm always amazed when I drive down the street and the lack of youth that are hanging around. When I was a kid, I'm from Rushmere, Dorchester. We moved to Newton. You could have the Newton Center, 250 kids up there on a Friday and Saturday night. You'd be down the playground. You'd be up, you have the kids up in Newton Highlands, Newtonville, everywhere. So we've come a long way about, not through the police department, I think just the culture. There's been a paradigm shift, the way the kids stay at home, they play on the computers, or they're talking on their phones, or they're just not hanging around like they used to. So when I was asked to come to this meeting, like this other meeting that we were at Washington Park, what I try to do is I try to look up the incidents so I can present them to people to let you know what's going on there. And what I found interesting was the lack of actually reportable calls, that reports were actually taken. I did a search from January 1st of 2012 up until today. Back in 2012, we had a number of incidents that involved having an ice cream truck there. Those were the reports that were taken. There was a vehicle that was reported, that was found there, that was stolen. There was an incident where four kids in dark clothing, one of them took out, they scared somebody. Let me see that one. Yeah. Back in 2012, there was a met the complainant states that sometime between June 9th and June 10th, someone had spray-painted the word chaos on the snack shack. That's at the field. Responded via Albemarle Road for city ordinance violation, ice cream truck. Let's see. On the above day and time, this is on May 5th. This is all in 2012. Daughter came into the front desk to report that her and her friend parked at the pool house. They were deciding what to do. While sitting there, four males dressed in black, dark clothing, covering hoods, their faces ran up from behind the pool and began to egg her vehicle. Take it up to 2013. The first incident that we had that was reported to us, let's see, the reporting person states that they were at the field last night. When they returned today, they noticed the dugout screen on the third base side had been ripped off. That was on July 31st. On August 13th, they were dispatched to Albemarle Field for a report of city grass being damaged. They were able to find two clear tire tracks on the city lawn at the Gath Pool. A week later, they took a report on August 21st to the Albemarle Field House for vandalism to the field. I don't know how, I still couldn't find it. At the meeting we were at, this Ken Brown from the Little League had said there was another report that wasn't on here. I can't find it. I'm sure we did. Somehow it must have had a different address, so on the search it didn't come up. We had the meeting in November. About a week later, there was an email that was sent around from Ken Brown stating that he went to the field that morning, this is November 16th, and he saw some vandalism. And he said, as you can see, and I get pictures for you, he says, you can see that there was some partying going on in the dugouts. And he called the police, and he said no one ever came down. What I did was I looked at that in the reports, and the call from him was someone was attempting to light a fire, so he was advised to call the police, the fire department. So no dispatch needed. So it looks like the police, we didn't care, we didn't respond to the call, but the actual dispatcher's notes were, there was no need to have an officer dispatch contact the fire department. I looked up also, we have what we call directed patrols. When we feel that there's a problem in an area, our officers are assigned to an area, they'll actually, whether it's a supervisor or a lieutenant or the officer themselves, they'll do what they call a directed patrol. So if you're having a problem in the Albemarle Field area, you'll either be assigned there or you're going to call from yourself. Between January of 2012 and today, there's been 169 directed patrols there. Now, that is probably, I don't want to exaggerate, but it's probably maybe a quarter of the times that actually officers drive by. Those are times they'll specifically call off, and they'll say that, but we know that there are officers that are assigned to those areas, and they drive by and they'll look, and if they see a group of kids, they'll just move them along. So, based on all this, there was some concern at the meeting of a light that is near that Little League field that the light bulbs out. And there was some concern whether it was from the NSTAR, it was the city of Newton. And I'm glad that I actually met Chris Tracy last week. He's out of the mayor's office now. And we were talking, and we always get, the police department always gets full support from the mayor's office, as well as we do from the aldermen and Parks and Recreation. So it was actually good that Chris was able to join us tonight, because again, I know that I've worked with the mayor's office before on many of these type of community issues, along with some of the aldermen in this room. And there's really nothing that can't be solved. What I told the people at the meeting that night that I attended, the reality is we can't be at that location 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So when we drive by, there's no kids there. The officers report there's nothing showing. And, you know, 2 minutes later, kids can come up from a house, from behind the woods there, behind the FAA, and they can go there. From what you can see in those pictures, I just saw, I think it was one or two beer cans. So it was reported that there was a lot of partying going on. There's partying going on there. All I see is one or two beer cans on the thing. I'm not trying to minimize it, but the reality is, again, we can't be everywhere, but we try to work with people. Bill Ranke here. I'm glad to see Bill here. I sit on the Crime Commission, and we try to solve people's problems. And Bill, I was at a community meeting and met Bill that night at the down the Lower Falls. A
couple of years ago now.
Yep. And Bill joined the Crime Commission. We suggested to some of the people at that meeting that they should come to the Crime Commission, and some of them did. And there's been some issues down at Nonantum where some community activists started their own crime watch, this, Sammy Riley. And so we suggested to the people from the playground, why don't you come to our Crime Commission meeting and maybe we can help solve these problems together. So we're trying to be proactive. We're trying to help out with everybody. And, you know, we're always a willing partner. And that's what I like about my job. That's why I like to come to these meetings because, in my opinion, there's nothing that can't be solved. We're not living in an area where there's people being shot, that there's, you know, major crimes going on. But these are nuisance type of crimes, and they are. You know, so if there's vandalism, then it's a crime and we're concerned about it. We don't want anything to ever continue. So, you know, we're always got our ears open and we're always willing to help people. And whatever we can do to assist, you know, that's what we'll do. I know some of the suggestions that we had that night didn't meet with so much of acceptance. Some was taking some of the brush there between the school and the park, maybe moving some of that away. We talked about that night, and I don't know if that was such a, you know, accepted in such a wide array by the Little League people, but I think one of the major things is getting that light fixed. We can get that light fixed, and, you know, that would make it that kids don't want to be a place where they're going to be seen, and if we can have some sort of illumination there, and I think that would do great to try to minimize things, because with any crime, it's motive and opportunity. And if you can take away the opportunity because they're seen, and when an officer's driving down the street, if you can see people, then that would be a great help for us.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Amy, before we talk
about
this, I'll add, Alderman Ciccone was also present at the meeting that night, and his history on that park was past mine. And,
did you want to talk now, Alderman Ciccone, or should we hear from Parks and Rec first? It's up to you.
I'll just give my two cents on it. Bruce covered a lot of it. It appears to be, in my eyes, it's that group of kids that aren't just ready to drive yet. That's what it looks like to me. Okay, and you know, like Bruce said, if that place is lit up, they're going to go somewhere else. I think that would be a big help.
Can I add one more thing? Just watching the park, we were having issues down there, and I had an idea of contacting the youth outreach worker from the YMCA. And I asked her, hey, listen, if we see a group of kids hanging down there, could you come down there and speak to the kids? Boston has it. They have Youth Connect. They have street outreach workers. We don't have that in the city. And I'll reach out to her to see if maybe there are some nights that she can come down there, and she can just engage these kids in conversation, because I think a lot of times kids get involved in these things when they got nothing else to do. But the majority of people, whether it's in downtown Boston or whether it's in the worst places, same as Newton, it's the smallest of percentage of people that, you know, cause these type of vandalism, type of reports, or, you know, graffiti and things like that. So, you know, it's a great area to be down there, and, you know, the majority of kids are all good kids. And it could be one kid for the last 1 or 2 years, it's causing all of these different problems. And it's just trying to locate that person or trying to get some sort of assistance down there.
Excellent. We have Bob and Carol. Would you like to weigh in on this?
Intent analysis.
Very good.
I think what the lieutenant has said is right. I think lights will do a lot to alleviate the issue. I can tell you that it's the most heavily used park in the city. And we're there, you know, 9 months out of the year. It's quiet right now. But throughout most of the summer and fall and spring, it is very busy. But even when it's at its busiest point, it's lit from Craft Street to the back of the pool. And then it stops. So, because there's no lights in the Little League field. So even when there is activity at the site, from the Little League fields on, tends to be a dark area. And I bet if we looked at where this vandalism taking place, the majority of it is near Edinburgh Terrace, in the back behind the baseball field, the Little League field, where it's the darkest. So I think if we could get some sort of lights back there, I think it would help immensely. We have had some vandalism at the pool. We get it every year. Once or twice a year, there'll be some graffiti on the side of the kiddie pool. Occasionally, we'll get beer bottles thrown into the pool. It happens once or twice a year, but it is, Lieutenant Seven, he's right. Over the years, I've been around since 1987, I can tell you that it's gotten much better over time. There was a lot more vandalism down there before. But again, if we could do something from the pool down with some lights, I think it would be a big help. You know, the gazebo's been vandalized, the dugouts at the baseball field, those are the areas where it's in darkness. And they're not going to hang around. If it's not dark, he's right, they're going to move on. If it's light, they'll get out of that area. So I think we're trying to work with NSTAR in this pole. I think that it's been an issue, and we'll try to get that rectified. And we also have a security pole right by the pool that will work on that lighting. And there is walkway lights there that just went in now, by the way, that go from Day Middle School out to Albemarle Road, which will be helpful as well. So.
Excellent. Carol, do you have a map for us?
I do. Okay.
Let's look at the map and let's see the area that needs lighting.
Some of the discussion in the last meeting we had was about the fencing that's behind Edinburgh. There's a path that goes in to the path here.
Mm-hmm.
That goes in. There was talk about sealing that off, but we just don't feel that would be a good solution to this. So one of the things that I even talked to the boys this weekend was their willingness to do a community watch. Emily, I think. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
The boys.
Well, I call them the boys.
They're sort of aging boys at this point. The board of New York Little League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
50-year-old boys.
Yeah. And they're doing the skating rink and everything now, so, I mean, they're constantly on this property. So it's a good group of guys. And they are willing to talk to Bruce about doing a community watch. So
I think you'll see that this is the area that's problematic.
So where's the pole? That doesn't have a light.
What you have here is you have containers that are out here for the league. So it's a great place for kids to get congregated because you talked, as the lieutenant said, there's brush in through here. This is where they are. When we're there at night, it's pretty well lit from here back this way.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, it becomes dark.
Can you get houses involved in community watch?
Sure.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the pole that's out?
There's one back here that's out, and we have a security pole right here that we can work on. But now you have walkway lighting all the way down through here, which will be helpful as well.
So one other thing, if I could add, with lighting, if we could get on some of the poles or maybe on a couple of the corners of the Gath pole, if we could get some sort of security cameras, you know, it's interesting. Both high schools, for many years, experienced tremendous amount of larcenies. We had officers up there all the time taking larceny reports of iPhones, iPods, computers, you name it, they were being stolen. Once the cameras were installed, I don't even think we took a report yet. I think maybe one was stolen all year so far, or a couple.
I agree, Bruce, because here's the high, and I had so many problems with the kids. When once the cameras went up, the problems went away. So you'd see it on your phone, and I've called the police a number of times with kids that there at midnight, and once they realize the camera's in, they just disappear.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a big thing, because if...
or they dress all in black.
And plus, if there is damage, and we do talk to the people involved, and we do charge them with a crime, word spreads pretty fast that, hey, you better not, can't do it down here because the police, they got cameras down here. So to me, that's a major component to some of these things. Again, this is an area, you heard about the incidents that were there, they're not major, they're nuisances, it's vandalism. If we can't solve a problem down here, then we might as well go out of the policing business, because this is something that nowadays with the technology that we have, this is something that can very well be handled.
Good.
You know, and the gazebo, and it's been a great amenity added to the site, but it's also a place where kids can go and sit, and they're somewhat concealed, and they can, and that's where I think some of the drinking may be going on. So there's a light there as well that needs to be fixed, too.
When we raised the money for that, there was a light.
Right. So we need to, we've had some issues with it, but that's a place where we have to light up, because that's where they'll be. And then, of course, they go from there, and they filter back behind here, and that's when your trouble starts.
Okay. Thank you. Oh. Alderman has my hand, and Alderman Yates.
So, and I thank Lieutenant Bosker and Bob and Carol for coming. Actually, across the street is Ward 3, so I often get calls from the people on that side of the street, and it is exactly that spot. And the game is called Assassin. They dress up in black and put the hoods on, and what they're doing is aiming to do a little creative vandalism. I don't know whether they're interested in doing a neighborhood watch. I know that this has been going on for at least 12 years, where it's been increasing number of kids that are gathering. Yeah. And I think you're right about the lights. Not sure about the cameras. I have no experience with it, but I know for sure with the lights, it would make a huge difference to the folks on the other side. Because when they report, of course, the kids scatter as soon as a patrol car comes, you know, and then so there's no one to get caught.
Alderman Yates.
What's wrong with the lights?
It's an NSTAR issue.
It's an NSTAR issue. We have to deal with them on this backlight here, and we've had some problems with the electrical piece in this one that I think is, I'm not sure if this is up right now, but I'll find out.
Somebody got a shock from that one.
Yeah.
So that field is not lit?
Yeah. No, the lights stop here. The softball field's lit. This whole area is lit. That's it.
And the neighborhood is not really interested in having lights.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, at 9 o'clock, they want them off, generally. So.
Even
what is the deal with the lights from NSTAR? Why is it taking so long?
There's been a bit of a problem with communication with them. So, you know, what may be high on our priority list is not necessarily high on their list. So we've had to reach out to them on numerous occasions. I know Chris has been trying to get a hold of them as well. So it's an area that we've been frustrated, not only here, but at other sites, too. We've had NSTAR issues trying to get them out there, and it's been difficult.
Could we send them a lawyer letter listing the cost of all the vandalism?
Yeah, well,
the lack of the
I think we reached out in a couple of, that wouldn't be a bad idea, maybe, to let them know what kind of problems we're having there.
We have a lot of long list of issues with NSTAR, so.
I only care about the word two.
We understand that.
So your special task will be to count all the double poles.
How am I doing, Shadow?
So, Allison,
it's not like there's going to be a cost to the city to put up additional lighting. It's really just fixing what's already there and getting NSTAR to do what they're supposed to do.
Right. I mean, I think the existing lighting, we may look at the potential of another pole somewhere in there, too, to help out. But I think if we could get all the existing lighting functional, I think we'd have a better situation.
What about the Boys and Girls Club? Have they been cooperative in trying to address some of the issues with the kids leaving there? And
Oh, yeah. Dave Sellers has been very receptive.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's an excellent resource, the Boys and Girls Club. And I was just thinking, you know, let's just say, for example, the Boys Club stayed open until midnight, stayed open until 1. If we had problems, it would be from 1 to 1. You know, because the reality is, some of these kids, they want to hang around.
Yeah.
And it's not, we all know, it's not all of them. It's just really one or two of these kids that we know throughout history, there's always those few that cause these types of problems.
What would be the approximate cost of an additional light? Yeah.
It depends what we had to do. If we had to put a pole in, or we could use an existing pole, I would think probably in the vicinity of $1,500 to $2,000 for something like that.
Alvin Kalis, did you have something to say? Yeah. Alvin Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if the Senator could tell us, you commented briefly about some other areas of the city that there's sometimes similar type of activity. I'm just wondering how this compares, and you mentioned also that you fix one area, oftentimes it moves to another area.
Are there
concerns about doing a more kind of
citywide approach
to this kind of...
Well, it's interesting. We try to work with the community, and we try to partner with them, and talk about some of these crime watches. That's why Bill came to the crime commission, and, through some of these meetings, and we're always reaching out. I know the mayor has said in the past that what he would like is for these crime watches to begin with the crime commission's help, but he wants the people to go out really and just do it on your own. We can assist them in any way we can. But the issue about issues in other areas. It's always the perception. And one thing we always tell people is you have to call us. Because a lot of times people say, you know, there's a problem down at Stern's Playground. And then we look at our reports and we're like, we only got one. So a lot of times people are fearful to call us. They don't want to bother us. And I always tell people, you can't bother us. We'd rather work on the front end than taking a report on the back end. But there really isn't an area of any of these playgrounds that I want to say is a major concern to us. Stern's Playground, a few years ago, there were some reports that there may be drug dealing going on down there. There may be some gangs. And sometimes because someone doesn't look like somebody from the neighborhood or they may be dressing a certain way, people get concerned and they feel that there's, you know, these issues going on. But we actually had, and it's being put back into service, we have a group of officers that kind of go around and they try to look, be proactive in some of these areas. So I would say that at this moment, as of this date, there's nothing on our radar. We've worked with Washington Park. There's kids that...
Hi, Shauna.
Washington Park, for example, there's issues during school hours. Kids come down there and they maybe take their breaks there or right after school, they're hanging around there. Wellington Playground, there were some concerns at Wellington Playground. There was some graffiti that was found down there. There was a burnt bench. There were some carvings into the bench also. And we actually looked at that and we made some suggestions about better lighting, maybe cutting away some of the brush there. I mean, it's a tiny little park. But there's really nothing, which doesn't mean it can't change tomorrow, but at this particular time, sometimes if a kid lives near some place and they're all just hanging around, then I don't believe they're going to walk to down to Stern's Playground because now it's another place to hang around. They just, maybe they'll sit on someone's stoop, something, but, you know, you get, if you look at those pictures, it wasn't like a major party. You didn't see like cases and cases of beer down there. You saw one or two cans, but it was some damage to the fence. So, again, whether it's with the hate crimes that I deal with all the time, with the civil rights officer, I always tell people, if there's a swastika that's this big on a curb, which there was one time, I investigate that just as much as I do when there was a swastika up on Temple Shalom's sign. We look at all these things and we try to take care of everything. Sometimes we have to prioritize. We don't have the number of offices that we used to have. And I know it has been increased lately, and, you know, thanks to the board and the mayor for getting the offices. We have some in the academy now. We're going to be hiring some more. So, again, I think one of the big things that we've had is this group of officers that are proactive that did make, I think, a major difference in the Stearns Playground. Lincoln Elliott Field, we were having problems down there, people complaining. We look at the numbers, there really isn't that many. So sometimes we get people to, hey, call us when you hear something. That being done alleviates a lot of things on the back end, like I said. So, you know, the kids know that, hey, listen, if I'm loud, somebody's calling and the police are going to come down. So it helps that way.
That's helpful to know the context. Thank you.
Chris, did you want to add anything?
Thanks, Jay. I just want to... by way of introduction, for those who I haven't met, my name is Chris Tracy. I'm Mayor Warren's new Citizens Assistant Officer. I've been here just a little over a month, so there's a lot of you who I don't know. My job is to do constituent services for the mayor and tackle these quality of life issues in each of the villages. He takes quality of life issues very seriously, and certainly public drinking and vandalism in public parks is something that he takes very seriously. So I'm going to work with Commissioner DeRubis and the Lieutenant on getting NSTAR to fix these lights as quickly as possible because it's like we have the lights there, it's just simply they're not working. So we're going to get those fixed as quickly as possible and any other quality of life issue on parks or public safety or any issue, big or small, I'd be glad to help anyone with. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you.
Thanks. Alderman Yates.
Yeah, Chris, will the mayor call somebody very senior at Boston Edison, or whatever their names are now, to get this done?
And Star for the last 20 years, Brian.
Well, I'll certainly call my contact tomorrow morning to give them a push, and if we need the mayor or someone higher up than me to make a call, then we'll certainly do that.
Good. Thank you.
Sarah?
So, Alderman Baker.
I just remember Chief Quinn one time saying that you've already paid for the gas, so call us up.
Alderman Fuller.
I'm sure you know this. You know Bill Paley is working closely with NSTAT. Like, he's got the list of 60, so I assume he's...
We've got others. I know there's a cluster of streetlights on Center Street near BC Law that have been out for some time that Bill Paley and I are working on.
And on
too,
Hammond
so.
Street.
So we'll add them to the list.
So I'm just going to weigh in my two cents. I think getting a light there would be very beneficial. Having the neighbors participate in some sort of crime watcher neighborhood organization to maybe proactively address. I mean, they know the kids in the neighborhood. I'm going to guess it mostly the kids in the neighborhood that are hanging out there. My question is, I don't like the idea of cameras. And I don't know how neighbors feel. I'm sure that it works at school buildings and...
private property.
But, you know, when you, it sort of, I don't know, leaves a bad feeling for me. I like the idea of kids congregating, not necessarily to party, but having a nice place to congregate. And sometimes those are parks. And I don't know how we can, you know, maybe not extend the hours, maybe have a curfew or something, but somehow allow kids just to hang out at a park or a playground. It's not... it shouldn't be banned. I mean, as long as they're not doing anything that's damaging.
It's banned after dusk.
Yeah, after dusk is trespassing.
You can walk through it, but I'm sure if you're not causing any trouble, you won't get
it. I can't imagine that when dog walkers go and congregate after dusk with their dogs that's trespassing. And I'm sure they do that at our parks. But
actually, some of the people that live in the neighborhood let their dogs go loose inside the Little League field.
Oh, do they?
Which has been an ongoing problem.
That's another issue that's not addressed.
Train them to go after the kids right here.
Alderman Norton.
I think that the idea of a community watch could work. I'm more interested if we could find some sort of technological or systemic problem like fixing the lights rather than relying on citizens. I think citizens probably, that's why they pay their taxes, so that we'll solve these problems for them to the extent that we can, especially when it's a light that should be working. So I think that would be the highest priority. Chris, I also know some people at NSTAR, if need be. I will only call about Ward 2 lights. So I'm in favor of starting with the things that are free and should be the easiest, and then perhaps seeing how things go from there on, and then maybe think about the additional light. I'm totally cool with cameras, but I hate to waste money if it's not necessary. So that's kind of what I would think maybe going forward, would just, you know, start with the easiest and then see how that addresses things.
Well, actually, my neighbors across the street, when they were redoing their house, they did their own work, and they had a truck with all their tools in it, and one night all those tools got stolen. So they put a fake camera on the roof, and that didn't happen again. What?
The tools were gone.
Former Alderman Linsky, since you are one of the lead doctors of the item, how do you wish for us to proceed?
Well, it's thought as a discussion item, although I'm very pleased, frankly, because I think as Alderman Norton was indicating, there's some concrete steps here that, you know, that the board is useful on. And the lighting is certainly the most concrete, I think. And if there's a way that can be investigated, that would be great, because it's been a while. I know sometimes it's a question of these depowered poles. I don't know if that's what we're talking about here, Bob. Those have been real sticklers, but we've got to get past that. And it's a wonderful opportunity, I think, to have a significant impact with a relatively small amount of cost and effort. But we did want the board and this committee to at least be apprised of some of the things that are happening here, and I think it's been useful for that. So as long as a discussion item, the committee has felt that it's been apprised and brought up to speed on it, and
okay, committee members, how do you feel? Would you like to get an update? We could keep this on the docket. We could NAN the item.
Move to hold.
Move to hold, okay.
Just for my edification, what does that mean?
That means it stays on the docket and someone can bring it back up for discussion, or we can bring it back up for discussion has not been done.
Get an
update.
Can we set the time so we can see how successful Chris is in the next month or however long?
Sure, if that's what you'd like.
Well, the goal, by the way, was prior to April 1st.
feel like we have some resolution, so maybe getting something before then?
Yeah, that would be, I think, would be appropriate.
Do you want to recommend a time?
No.
Okay.
April 1st.
There we go.
I'll make it the second meeting.
The second meeting in March. Okay. Alderman Fuller.
And this is, I'd actually ask for two updates, an update on the lighting in March, but I would actually also ask for a mid-fall update, perhaps from the police department, on an update on the list of reports, so that you can actually see at least what gets called in. We can have a sense in the fall after the, I assume June, July, August is that probably the prime concern.
I mean, I would say that we'll do if we did everything right, we're still going to get calls.
Just
the nature of everything.
Right.
Okay, so there's a motion to hold. All those in favor? That's unanimous in programs and services. Alderman Ciccone?
Motion on public safety. Alderman LaPorte?
I'll make a motion to NAN. I think we've heard from the police. They're on top of it. The mayor's office is taking a look at the lights. Everybody's in tune and step with this, and I move NAN.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor in public safety NAN? 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 2. Abstentions? Missing somebody?
Jay's not here. I don't see Jay.
Oh, Jay. Okay.
And Marcy, right?
Okay, thank you very much, folks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Public safety, we're done with that field trip.
Okay.
I love that cider one, just in case there's...
Can I borrow your...
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Just thought to let go of the cider.
Oh, yeah. If anybody would like to stop, please.
Sure. Purloined cider.
Okay, our final item tonight. I think it's our final item. Don't leave.
Amy, I know you were going to talk to the snow for the background meeting.
Okay. You're going to miss the plastic bags.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
So the next item is item number 254-12, Alderman Hessehan, Sangiolo, Danberg, Kalis, and Crossley, proposing an ordinance relating to plastic bag reductions that would add a fee to single-use plastic and paper bags that are not at least 40% post-consumer recycled content at certain retail establishments in Newton. And Alderman Hessehan and Alderman Leary, would you like to update us? Because I think, were you the only two that went on the field trip to Wegmans? Nobody else went?
Vicky went, and Steve Levesque went, and who else went? Yeah. But was there somebody else there? I can't remember. Courtney Forrester.
From the
who does she work for now?
DPW?
Director of Recycling, yeah. So anyway, we went to Wegmans in Northborough to look at their recycling operations. We had the present at the meeting with some folks from Wegmans, and also, who's the lobbyist? I can't remember his name.
Brian.
Houghton.
From Mass Food Association, which is the organization that's been against any increase in the bottle bill. Uh-huh. They're against any movement. They don't want to shift any of the burden of towns onto them. Mm-hmm. So they're, and they also came up with this idea where they worked with the state to reduce the amount of plastic bags, and they were saying that they had, you know, done some significant work on reducing by encouraging people to not to train their baggers to reduce the number they give out, encouraging people to bring their own bags, and having the recycling in the store, which is a very, very small amount of the problem. And I saw it as a total sellout. But
tell us what you really think.
So they're concerned, they're very concerned about it, but actually when I asked directly the manager of the Wegmans, he said they would work with us on a fee, but they wouldn't like a ban. Yeah.
Which is actually what I proposed in the first place, or what we proposed in the docket item in the first place was a fee. It's been effective in other areas. I know in California they have a number of different municipalities, including San Francisco, have done it with a fee. Also in Maryland, I can't remember, is it Fairfax County or Virginia, and then there's in Maryland, there's Landover, and a few other places. Anyway, there's a number of places that have done it, and the fee is used to do two things. One is to
cover the cost to the stores for whatever it costs for them to administer the fee, you know, charging the fee and keeping track of it and so forth. And then the rest of it goes for cleanup of plastic bags. And it's been very effective in the cities that have adopted it. In terms, I forgot my study that was done, but they've done several studies on the reduction in the actual number of plastic bags that are handed out. And with the fee, it seems to be the most effective way. It's just, you know, when people feel the bite a little bit for having to buy the bags, they bring their own.
And it's not really about the fee or raising money. It's really about changing consumer behaviors. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it the right way, your fees will go down. And that's what they've been seeing in Washington, D.C.,
right,
where they institute fees specifically for cleanup of the Anacostia River. And it's been very effective, so effective, they're seeing a 90% reduction in the amount of plastic bags used and fewer in the river. And they're also seeing a lot less revenue from it, too, which is how it's supposed
to
work. And I've heard people say that they would recommend the stores keep the entirety of the fee in this case, just because it's simpler for the city, and I think it irks people to see the city getting any money from that, because it makes it look like we're nickel and diming people again, when really we have to, the point is to get, not to get money from people, it's to work with people to change their behavior, so they start bringing their own bags, and they start thinking, you know, this plastic bag that I use for 2 minutes to have two, you know, a piece of gum and a soda or a candy bar that I carry from CVS to my car is with us for thousands of years. You know, do we really, I mean, if we can't make these easy choices when it comes to environmental sustainability, how are we going to make the hard choices? So.
Okay, so I'm good. Before I recognize the committee members, Alderman Danberg and Steve are here. They want to probably weigh in. Alderman Danberg?
I'm not sure what was covered before I got here, but
a little bit about the tour.
We went on a really interesting tour of Wegmans. I'm sorry that it happened in the middle of the day so far, so that people who a lot of people who would have liked to go were not able to go, but there were half a dozen of us who did make it out there, and I have to say that Wegmans really does it right. They are what we would dream of having the city be able to do and all of our industries and companies be able to do, but I think you have to have that kind of economy of scale to be able to achieve that. They have a machine that compresses bags, for example, and you feed the material into it, or bags or some product. Feed the bag. One person feeds the bags into it, and in order to do that, you have to be properly trained, and so that nobody who is not properly trained can use that machine, you have to put your fingerprint on it, and that's how the machine starts up. They've thought of everything that you could think of to make it work right.
When they were bailing. Yeah. Okay.
Of course, they wrap them in plastic, but you know.
Excuse me. We're going to hold the overnight raising the fees because there's no one here from the police department. Do you mind?
Fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So they collect everything. They collect and process everything. They collect their plastic bags, they collect their styrofoam, they collect the plastic wrap that wraps the pallets. They collect the pallets. They collect not only everything that they produce for their own store, but anybody that wants to bring anything from the outside, they will collect it, bale it. And the interesting thing is that they make money on it. Now, you know, if we're looking at our own recycling in the city, and I think our hope is to break even at this point. We used to make some money on it. We lost the money, and now we're kind of hoping that we're in a break-even situation. They have it down so well that they, regionally, they make about $500,000 a year. The New England region all ships to one place. I think the Providence, Rhode Island is where they ship to.
You're talking about the total sum of all their
recyclables? The total sum of all their recyclables. And then there's a Rochester area in New York where they do the same thing. But I think, we as a, what we learned from that, A, is that the Wegmans that's coming in to Newton is going to do a fabulous job. They're not going to produce anything that they can't recycle, that is recyclable. The second thing is that the methods that they use are not practical for the city because we just can't do that. We can't rise to that level. And with the plastic bags, I think the discussion on how we deal with it, whether we ban it or whether we charge a fee, I think is up to the wisdom of the board. And
but you remember the manager did say that he'd prefer a fee?
The manager did say that he'd prefer a fee. Because
I would add that Wegmans, if you look at other supermarkets like Stop and Shop, they all actually do a pretty good job.
Yeah, they do.
It's not that Wegmans is beautiful and they're more high tech and I was impressed with how they had the easy consumer access to sort your recyclables. That was very good, definitely an improvement. But most supermarkets do a really good job in recycling and composting most of it at this point. All the low-hanging fruit is done. Then the thing that we're working on now are the single-use plastic bags and the bottle bill and styrofoam.
Yeah. And they didn't have an easy answer for styrofoam. They have the capability of shipping it to a center, and then they have a machine that heats it and liquefies it, essentially takes all the air out of it, and they ship it in pellets.
And that's what the city does too, when they collect it.
Right. And but the problem with styrofoam, and it's just another issue that has to be thrown into the mix, is that because styrofoam takes up so much room and it's all air and it's very light, in order to recycle it, which we do recycle it at Rumford Ave, it has to get to Rumford Ave. And you can't throw it in your recycle and have it get to Rumford Ave. And so it has to be there. For example, in my house, we recycle absolutely everything that we can except styrofoam because my husband will not have it in the garage because it just takes up enough room and somebody has to drive it over to Rumford Ave. So until we find a better way of getting styrofoam to where we can take care of it, it's going to be a problem in our trash.
You could store it in my house. Every collection.
Thank you. Steve.
Well, I would just add, I want to thank Vicki again for helping organize the tour. It was great. To Allison's point, I think generally this is about, and ultimately about behavior. Okay? It's in behavior, not merely among users, but about the producers. I'm convinced, and I think Wegmans and others demonstrated, and I agree with Allison also, that the lower hanging fruit, it's good business, right? It's good business, poor business, in two respects. One, they can make money on it. Two, they get, they win customers. I think this community is a community of customers that is really waiting for us to take the next step. Other communities are doing things, and I just think that we ought to be with them. That doesn't mean we don't learn from it. It doesn't mean we don't go on. And I think to the point here that Wegmans made with us, we may be more directed, I think, to a fee than a ban. But I think that this community is looking to take more proactive action. And I'm hoping this year, this term, this committee will ultimately put a program together. We've been, I think, very carefully and cautiously looking at what other communities are doing. Now Brookline is online.
Yep.
It's useful for us to see that experience. But in any event, I'm very hopeful that we're moving in the right direction. And I think having Wegmans in our community now is also a big step in that regard too.
I've got Alderman Blazer, Alderman Kalis, and then Alderman.
There's one comment that I didn't make that I'll just add, and that is that there's a state facility that does recycling, and the next step would be that we would like to go to that state facility and see how they handle it, and we'll then come back and report.
For bags, plastic, styrofoam?
For bags and styrofoam, polystyrene,
okay,
to see how they handle it.
Okay, Alderman Blazer, Kalis, and then Baker.
Yeah, last time we talked about this, I felt it. The best way for this city to go was have a ban. And I'm still leaning that way, but it seems that people who have spoken tonight are much more in favor of having a fee. And I'm curious as to why that is, because my feeling is that the book line's doing a ban now, and other committees have done it, and if you really want it, it's very easy to change behavior if you ban something.
I can speak to that.
Yeah, so I'm curious as to what you...
Because I think it would be much more successful to get it actually passed, because the stores would be much more on board with the fee, because then they would actually make some money. And it's critical for us to get Wegmans, Stop and Shop, and CVS to help us, because there's going to be a tremendous amount of education and outreach that we need to do if you really want to be successful.
I understand that, but if... So you want to start with a fee and then go to a ban, or you want to stay with the fee and maybe not go to a ban, or... It seems to me, if Wegmans or Stop and Shop or Shaw's, if we get this passed, not a ban passed, I don't know that we'd be successful in getting a ban passed.
Right.
But if we get a ban passed, it just strikes me as a better way to go, although if they don't get it passed, then we can go and do the fee. So I'm sort of wrestling why... Because it's clear to me that a ban's the best way to go. If we can get it passed, we can enforce it, rather than to have... The problem with the Wegmans and stores that are doing good things about this is that I'm not worried about Wegmans so much and the big stores. I'm worried about the people in the community who are going to use plastic bags, which, you know, are going to end up all over the place like they are now, even though it'll be less because they're going to be paying for them. I still think, it just seems to strike me... And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I could be wrong on this, but it just strikes me if we can get a ban pass, we're better off than going a fee. But, you know, I could be shouting in the wind here.
But in areas where they do have fees, there's still been a very dramatic decrease in the amount of plastic bags that do get used. I mean, it does have a significant impact. Some people like the idea of having consumers have a choice. If they really want a plastic bag, then one would be available. I think you have to make sure the fee is significant enough that it's going to deter people from making that choice lightly. I would say not just 5 cents, 10 cents or more. Say 10 to 20 cents is what many communities have done. And I would be in favor of a ban if I thought we could get it through. Yes. And a ban that didn't exempt the so-called compostable plastic bags.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
No.
They don't exempt.
And which Brookline, I think, made a mistake.
Yeah, they did.
I agree.
Yeah.
Brookline made a mistake when they allowed...
Brookline made a mistake. I documented when I was drafting up the item and passing it around to people, I had copied what they did in Brookline, only I used the fee model because it's been more successful just based on the research. But in terms of what is banned, it's everything except the so-called compostable bags. Well, when you get right down and look at the science, there's no such thing. They're not compostable. And they still end up getting shredded in very small pieces and are still out in the environment. So they're out in the plastic bag sea in the middle of the Pacific. They're just as bad a problem. In fact, the fish eaters.
Yeah. The compostable bags break up into small molecular sizes way more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, but they never disintegrate. They break up into very small pieces that make their way immediately into the water supply. So the if we allow these, it's actually worse than the other plastic. At least the other plastic bags stay intact.
Even the stores don't like it because they contaminate the recycling of the actual plastic bags.
Which is another thing we learned at Wegmans.
They should ban the manufacture of compostable plastic.
And the only other thing, you remember, we had people come in and who were commenting on this, because we had a couple mm-hmm. of meetings where you had people come in and comment. I just see the public as really being opposed to the ban, whereas if it's a 10-cent fee, I mean, I know that what got us using the tote bags and bringing them canvas bags to the store all the time was when Stop and Shop used to give us a discount for every single canvas bag that we brought in. It was a small incentive, but it was enough to sort of jigger your memory. All right, I'm going to Stop and Shop. I'll bring bags. I think that using market forces is going to be far more effective than an out-and-out ban. And really, one of the other problems that the stores have is they feel it puts them at an economic disadvantage. People just go, it's just as easy to go across the border to Stop and Shop in Waltham or someplace else, Watertown.
rather than go to Newton, because it would only be banned in Newton and in Brookline. And I'm not sure what the figures are on Brookline. It's too new, I think.
It just started to get enforced in January.
Yeah.
You have to give a lag time.
Right, so that they can use up their inventory.
They can use up their inventory, and also that education piece is really important to sort of present it to the public and work with Wegmans and the larger stores to sell it to their customers.
And the stores will be very aggressive about it. They'll say, hey, you know, save some money, bring your own bags. Because they use the money in order to administer these programs, so it's worth it for them to do it. But anyway, I mean, that's the best picture I can give for it. It's just, I think it's more likely to pass, but more importantly, I think it's more likely to be effective in terms of changing people's behavior. Because there are still people who are going to want it for their dogs. Right? They're going to get the plastic bags. That's what they use them for.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Toys a day.
I have dogs, so I'm not kidding. But...
Well, where are you going to get your plastic bag?
That's only once a week, though. I don't think his dogs can wait that long.
Well, in your time.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Alderman Kalis and then Alderman Baker.
I'm with you, Alderman Blazer. I feel like we should really go for this here. And I'm a lot more, a fee, I think is fine. But I feel like we have an opportunity to make a difference here. And the difference would be to ban these. I understand economically that the retailers might make some money, but I'm not interested in that with this type of ordinance. It's more about the environment. And I'd love to see, actually, you know, you brought up Brookline so we can get some data.
Yeah, it's too soon
now, but I don't know if this is something that we as a committee want to wrestle with a little bit and think about how we want to position this, and in some ways, I would prefer to NAN what we have here, and really work as a committee to develop something that is stronger, if we all are in agreement with that. I mean, the 40%, I was going to ask about that. I'm glad it was already answered. You know, so with something like this, I couldn't accept that. So my point is, I think we can really make a difference here, and I don't think you're shooting in the wind. I don't think you're alone.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the only thing. The other thing that, you know, I worry about this fee as an incentive still, if these retailers can make money to continue to have these bags, I am not of the mind that a 5 cent or a 10 cents or even somebody, you know, to me, everybody's different, but that type of fee is small when you compare it to the impact you're making on the environment. But still, I go to Stop and Shop, I go to 10 items or less, I forget to bring in my recyclable bags, and I kick myself every time there are these plastic bags. And then I have to go and I talk to somebody. I say, I want a paper bag. I don't want to use the plastic. And they won't let me, I have to go through all this hassle. And
paper's not better.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is paper better?
Paper is different. It's not.
It's different. It's a different environmental cost of the paper. I mean, you still, the manufacturing process for the paper involves.
Yes. I didn't mean to.
No, this is good. I mean, so that's where I sit, and I'm interested to hear more about the paper versus the plastic.
It's a wash, no pun intended, but I don't think we would want to trade the plastic for the paper. It really, correct me if I'm wrong.
My concern is that paper does break down in the environment.
Well, that's better.
That's really key for me.
But that's why I wouldn't charge a fee for the paper.
The fee would be on plastic bags and paper bags. You got to put a fee on both.
Okay, good.
So that you just really encourage people to use.
That's good, because, that's not...
And I would go for a ban, absolutely. But I'm just thinking, what can we get done? If we think we try the ban and then it didn't work, to go to the fee?
That's what I'm thinking. If this committee feels like we should aim high, that's what I think we should do.
All right. Okay, we'll do the Guantanamo resolution next.
Yeah, you talk about that, Ted. Alderman Baker.
No,
I think we ought to go for a ban, and then we ought to go for a ban for all plastic bags, and hope that Brookline picks up the slack with the biodegradables, because it just is a bad idea. Okay. I mean, let's. So.
We also need to extend this conversation to polystyrenes, and it doesn't mean that we have to do the same thing with plastics as we do with polystyrenes, but I think we need to think about polystyrenes.
Well, too. Let's take a step at a time. I think there is a large constituency of folks who would be, I think, pleased to see plastic bags disappear from the situation. If we get into polystyrene is a trickier business because of the problem of what do you do. And that's not a consumer choice so much. It just arrives with your new.
But there's also things like meat and fish and stuff like that where they feel they have to use that for sanitary purposes.
Yeah, let's take it a step at a time. But if we've got a committee consensus in favor of a ban, then let's build it and do it.
Can I suggest this? I mean, I don't want to let go of the fee just in case, you know. I mean, we could always redocket it, I suppose, as long as we NAN it. But what I prefer to do is a parens item that's by the Programs and Services Committee, if that's the will of the committee, for a ban. All right.
Alderman Rice.
Yeah, and I think that was my point, too, because there's division here. And if you bring it to the full board, if there's a way that you could have a parens, so that way the full board can say, on one pathway ban, one pathway fee. And in that way, it could be...
My name's on it. It's got a lot better chance of passing.
But I just want to come back. I mean, our previous discussions, and I think the way Alderman Hesterman was drafting, we went both ways. We said draft a fee item, a legislation for a fee, and we draft a ban as well, because I think there was enough sentiment on this committee to go for the ban as opposed to just the fee.
I'm not opposed to it. Don't get wrong.
I don't know if we need the parens item, but I think we can still go in those two directions. Have a public meeting where we're going to hear comments from all sorts of people, pro and against.
It's just that the wording of it right now is for a fee, and I think we ought to truth in advertising. We ought to say it's for a ban, and then on top of that, I'd love to see it be from the Programs and Services Committee rather than from individual aldermen.
That's fine. Alderman Baker and Kalis.
I tend to agree with this. My concern about putting out the fee argument is that you almost by definition create the alternative that
NAN. If it's the will of the committee, that's fine with me.
I mean, if it has to come back at some other point, then I
just redocket it.
Redocket it, but I would rather create the parens too and move forward on the parens too and take that to the board and see if we can make it go. Rather than give a choice of A or B. I mean, the problem right now is we're seeing exactly that choice in every cash register in this city where they have these bags, and it's not producing a positive outcome.
So we'd just be banning plastic?
Well, we would be banning the plastic bags, right?
But they would,
there would be exemptions from it, and I just want to be clear about it. In just about every place that has done the bans, there are certain exemptions.
People on food stamps usually. That's for the fee. I don't think.
No. For the bans, there are exceptions like for wrapping fish and there's a few other things.
We're talking about single-use plastic purchased at the end, not to wrap food.
Right.
Just for the plastic bags.
We just want to be clear about what it is that we're banning. But I also didn't know whether people wanted to ban paper or whether they still want to leave it as an option. Ban plastic.
Alderman Danvers and Alderman Kalis.
Okay, and then I'll make a comment.
On that point, what we're trying to do is change people's behavior and get them to bring their own. And so if we ban plastic and make paper free, you have to ban plastic and put a fee on paper.
You do.
And getting to Ted's question about issue about paper and plastic having their own different problems, environmentally, in the end, and where this stuff ends up, it's pretty clear that because paper breaks down, it doesn't clog our waterways, kill our fish and do the kinds of things that plastics does and stay floating around in our waterways and in our trees. It's the upfront cost of energy and what it costs us to create paper. So if we were to, my suggestion, my preference would be to do a ban with an accompanying fee on paper. And that will, I think, do more to changing the behavior and getting people to bring their own reusables than any other combination that we could do.
Can I comment on
that? Sure.
I respectfully disagree with that, not because I don't agree with the policy, but the problem that we're trying to, the real hook, it seems to me, for us, is the municipal impact of the disposal. Trying to go upstream to the production side is a different story, and is lost in, you know, a huge national problem. I mean, the fact that Newton takes paper out of, or minimizes paper, is not going to stop the paper industry from making paper. Mm-hmm. As much as I'm concerned about that impact, and I share your concern about it, but I do think if we deal with the plastic, we've got a shot at doing something that is directly tied to our own waste stream, to the kind of environmental issues, and we can make that case. If we're trying to put a fee on the paper, I think then we do create for ourselves a challenge in the public perception of what we're going to be doing and getting it successful. So I would not fight that. I would just stay strictly with the plastic bag ban.
Keep it simple with the plastic
bag
ban.
That's what Brookline did.
Hmm? Yeah. Alderman Kales.
So we'll bag that, I think.
So I just wanted to edit or second what you had said prior to this time. You talked about not put docketing two items. I don't like having that lower level available. I like to just go for what we really want, which is the ban. On the paper fee, I guess my problem with impacting paper in any way is we're having this discussion and it's inevitably going to lead to comments and thoughts about paper and the impact of the paper, and why not do something on paper at the same time? If your objective is really to not only improve downstream effects, but also environmentally, the way you put it, upstream, but it's really for the complete environment, it's tough for me just to say leave paper alone. So I'm not sure on that yet.
Well, the problem I guess I have is paper is not just the bags for carrying things on the market. Papers and paper towels, papers and newspapers, yeah. Papers all over the place. And so the problem of picking one particular component of the paper industry, whereas the plastic bag part of it is a wholly different, subset. And I just think that I would rather get something done that's relatively clean as an ordinance design, make the positive statement that we don't agree with Brookline's exemption because it doesn't. Well, you persuaded me that it's really quite counterproductive, and see if we can do something that will then set a standard. The other thing I'm concerned about, frankly, is that my neighborhood straddles Brookline and Newton, and the idea that you were somehow at the CVS in Brookline and then you walk across the street to the Star Market and you have a different model. I mean, the parking lot's the same and everybody looks at it as the same. They don't pay attention. They don't know where the boundary between Newton and Brookline. The only people that know that are that if you stand in front of the Star Market, you know how it's on a bevel, and that's where the line is. That's how you can always tell where the line between Newton and Brookline is. But
so the CVS is in Brookline?
The CVS is in Brookline.
So the one
and the reason that the Star Market is built that way is so that they wouldn't have any of the building in Brookline.
Brookline.
So it's the only municipal boundary that's apparent to the naked eye.
But I thought didn't they close off the road by Chestnut Hill Square? Didn't they shut that road down?
No. You mean Florence Street? No.
They threatened to do that.
They threatened to do it, but they didn't do it.
Oh, no, not Florence. Oh, on the other side.
On the other
Heath.
Side.
They couldn't do it because buses can't back up.
Okay, so I have Alderman Danberg and then Steve.
Don't forget the issue of in paper that if we think about who is going to come to this public hearing and object to it, in all likelihood, we're going to have stores that are or shops that would not be able to use plastic, and for whom the claim that paper is a more expensive product for them, and that they will suffer, and their businesses will suffer, because of the higher cost of their giving paper bags as opposed to plastic bags. If, however, there is a fee, and they get to keep the entire fee, that argument goes away.
Well, we also want to encourage them to, so they can sell the reusable bags.
And they can sell the reusable bags, sure. But the argument that paper is more expensive and therefore will affect the bottom line of these stores is a hard one to counter, unless we charge a fee that they can keep. And then that argument dissolves.
And it also ties well with the whole proposal to really work to change consumer behaviors and not just push them from using plastic bags to paper bags, which also are detrimental to the environment in a different way. But have pay a cut?
Yeah. Put this together right. Do you think that the stores are would rather have a fee on paper bags than not?
Yes.
I think they would, as long as they can keep the fee, because they can make money on it as opposed to losing money on it.
So they wouldn't object to a fee on paper bags?
It would be very hard for them to object to this fee on paper bags, because they would lose the argument that this is going to cost them financially.
It's an interesting thing. I guess I'm sort of torn, because I agree with Alderman Baker that just banning the plastic bags and not dealing with the paper bags seems more simple and easy to get through. We may not get it through, but I think then to say, well, we're going to do both at the same time, I'm not quite sure how I feel on that. From what you say, it makes sense that the stores would be more positive if we didn't put a fee on them.
There will be two different points of view that come up to the microphone. One is the store, which will be okay with there being a fee. And the other is the shopper who doesn't want to have to bring bags and who now is losing the opportunity to get a free paper bag.
Right. And doesn't get the Times and the Globe.
And doesn't get the Times and the Globe.
For the tab even. Yeah,
the dog's got to go more and more a week.
Well, I was just going to add that I commend the committee, because I think it's a great discussion, and I certainly appreciate the various viewpoints being raised. I think that process-wise, this is a wonderful opportunity maybe to reach out to the business community and say, look, the board is of a certain mind relative to plastic, and moreover has a critique of what Brookline has done vis-a-vis the type of plastic that they're giving an exemption to, and I think that there's a very good case for that. But I would point to them about whether or not on the paper side we would go fee or non-fee. I'd like to hear from them. Mm-hmm. In the end, they're making the call about, you know, customer loss versus, you know, retrieval of fee. And that's a way to bring them in rather than just perhaps beg for opposition from the word go. So I like the idea, frankly, of coupling the issues, okay, and also to then make a decision on the paper side based on what our own retailers are, those affected, feedback on us too. That's my take on this, because I think that in the end, personally, I would like to see a fee, because I think in the end that's about changing the behavior, which is what, in the end, what we're really trying to accomplish. But I'm also I'm mindful of what Alderman Baker is adding here about take a situation where one side of the street is on one thing and the other is not. Now maybe at some point in time Newton Brookline will be exactly the same. But I'm at least appreciative. I'd like to know what the retailers think.
Well, can I comment on that?
Sure.
The problem is I think that in any of these situations, they're not Newton retailers as a model. You're going to have some small stores that are going to be in one place, and any of the big chains are going to be in another place. I think trying to get that kind of advice is going to be, by definition, going to be fractured advice. And you're going to have a different regime in Newton than again in Brookline. I think that the advantage of a unitary system of going with an outright ban, and you can come back again if you want to deal with the paper and the fee at some point, but even the point of saying that you get to keep the fee, you know, it's a weird kind of situation. The fees are supposed to be for the regulatory purpose of, as opposed to a tax, you know, the cost of administration. And you're saying, we're going to impose a public fee that doesn't go to the public fist to help clean up, but is going to be just handed to the retailers?
To cover their cost.
It's not really a money maker.
Yeah.
No, I understand, but the idea behind fees is that you are, there are public funds that should be coming to the bottle bill, for example, doesn't go to the retailers. Right?
Part of it does.
You can't.
Part of it goes to the businesses that collect the fee. Yep. They collect the bottles. They get 2.5 cents. They just raised it, I think.
But there, at least there's a public, there's a return on the public investment. I think the point I'm getting at is that the fee requires a lot of thought, and you don't think you're going to have a unified arrangement. And you've got essentially a neighboring community that has taken a step that we can match pretty closely, and I guess that'd be my preference to start there if we can. But again, I'm just one member of the committee on this.
Alderman Kalin.
So yeah, I do support the ban. The idea of this fee on the paper bags, I'm definitely warming up to more the way Vicki has outlined it, because I always want Newton to be perceived as business friendly. And this, in a roundabout way, by removing the plastic bags, banning those, it's good for the environment. It might be perceived as bad for the business community, but then adding this fee, which actually helps make them whole on the new bags they're going to have to buy, I like that in a way. I mean, you're right. It's not. Maybe it's a different word you apply to it because of the reasons you said. You know, when you're talking about a fee, it usually goes back to a consumer good. This is going right to these retailers, but so that's how, kind of how I'm rationalizing it in my own head.
Okay, Allison, and then I want to take a straw vote of the committee so we can move forward, because I have to go to the supermarket now that we're talking about it.
I mean, there's many, many examples of different models that you could also just look at. If you Googled any of the stuff, it would come up. And, you know, California alone has 88 ordinances on. And some communities have gone with one of the various models we've discussed now. Regarding the fee on paper, I know that Seattle, Washington, when they first instituted a fee, and this was on plastic bags, it was 20 cents, it failed. And some people don't like the idea of the city getting that money. And so it's perceived as, you know, here's my money going right back to the city again. And that sometimes turns the public the wrong way. I want to get something done, and if I can get it done by doing plastic, banning plastic first, and matching Brookline's model, and I think that we can get that through the board, and then considering a fee on paper down the road. I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't. And then, what about 100% recyclable bags like Whole Foods? Are they going to be exempt from the fee? So the devil really is in the details of some of the stuff too, but I really am impressed that everyone wants to go with the ban, because I thought that would be harder to sell. But I would prefer a ban. I think it is simpler. There's some very little administrative stuff, and there's plenty of precedent for it.
Okay, so I know Alderman Norton hasn't weighed in on this, but if she doesn't have a comment right now because she's consulting with her shadow about Ward 2 only. Ward 2. I'd like to take a sort of a straw vote of the committee. So what I'm hearing is there's preference for a ban. So all those in favor of NANing the current item and the committee docketing an item to propose a ban for consideration, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, so it's unanimous in our committee to do that.
Excellent.
Okay. So is there a motion to NAN the item?
I
I thought that's what we just, oh, that was a strong word. Yeah, NAN.
Okay, there's a motion to NAN the item and create a, another docket item?
Oh, it doesn't really matter.
It's different.
Okay.
Make it a print, too. That makes it more real and you can do it.
Okay, all those in favor? Okay, so that's the parens to create an item just to ban plastic bags. For straw vote on those who are leaning towards a fee on paper, to include paper, all those in favor of that?
Look, just comment on that for a minute.
Sure.
Can we make that an item that we will be able to go forward with more discussion on? Or because I think we're, unless we all are agreeable that we want to put a cost on paper, I think there needs more investigation.
Yeah, maybe that's a new item.
Can we we can do a separate parens, but my hope is that we'll have this discussion at the same time, because there's we still need to develop the language for the ordinance. We need to bring in the law department to see how we're going to create whatever we are planning to create.
But we want to get the ban moving forward as soon as possible. Well, it seems to me the paper bag problem is going to take longer. That's why I'm kind of.
But we can still have the two items, and we could take them up simultaneously and see how each one is progressing, and then make the decision to go forward with one versus the other.
But the one, the ban on plastic bag, we want to go forward with. We know that. Right?
Yes.
So that
We know we want to move forward with that.
Yeah. So I'm saying that seems to me that should be separate from combining with the paper bag.
Right, we do it as a parens 3 or
something.
Right, so we can do a parens 3. Alderman Baker.
You can do a parens 3, but I would recommend not taking the two items up separately. I mean together. I think it creates a dynamic that you don't want to be in. If we've gone to, you know, to get this committee to a consensus in favor of something that I think is important, we ought to do that and save the docketing of the paper bag until we've got a little more time. You can docket it separately. I don't want to get caught in a situation where we lose ground on what we need to do.
And I already have the language for the band. It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
Alderman Taylor.
I totally agree with you. I guess I might be the only one on this. I feel like it's actually going to be an easier sell for the ban on plastic if we have something that we can offer out for paper as well. Because I just feel like the arguments against just plastic are going to be that retailers are going to have to now bear this new cost. It's not as friendly for the city of Newton for retailers, and I feel like we have an opportunity here to actually impact both of those questions and get.
That's a legitimate point of view.
I could be. Yeah, if I'm alone, I'm alone. But.
Okay. So is there a motion to create a parens 3 on paper bag?
Can I just get a definition of parens?
It's creating another item off an original item.
Okay.
It's just another way of docketing something, but it's a handy way to do it so you don't have to go to the trouble of getting the clerk's office, you know, making a separate, the committee dockets something and it comes out.
Okay. It'll be the same number. I just have a parenthesis with a 2 in it, so they stay sort of attached.
And the whole board still has to accept it.
Yeah.
Yes, still has to be docketed and accepted, yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion on that?
And it saves absolutely no work for Karen.
No.
Yes, move.
So there's a motion to create the parens. All those in favor of that motion? That's 5. All those opposed? Oh, so there's 6. So I should read the names. Kalis, Rice, Leary, Hessemahan, and Norton, and Sangiola. That's 6. All those opposed? Baker? All those.
I'm understanding because I'm not quite sure which way we're going.
Okay.
I'll
abstain. I don't want to.
No guts, no blood.
Okay. So the motion passed to create the parens for the paper bag.
Fee.
Okay. So is there a motion to hold?
Yes, so moved.
And all those in favor? That's unanimous.
And I'll put the language together. And
oh, we don't have
no.
Oh, okay.
You're done.
We're done.
Oh, yeah, we
have
an answer.
Yeah. That's right. We stuck a fork in it.
Okay. All right.
I've never heard that.
We're adjourned.
This term.